morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship this morning, whether you are here physically in person or joining us on Zoom. A very warm welcome to everybody. Just a couple of things to mention before I hand over. Firstly, there is an update to the prayer sheet. There are copies available in the foyer entrance hall outside, so when you leave, if you'd like to pick up one of those, that gives you a number of things to think about and pray for during the coming week. Can I also mention that we've been saddened during this past week to hear about the death of Bob Lewis. Bob was Viola's husband, and I ask everybody to pray for Viola and the rest of the family. At this point in time, we don't know any details for the funeral. Can I just take this opportunity as well just to remind everybody that all the hymns are on the screen, but if for any reason it's not easy for you to see the screen, then there are large print copies at the back of the church, and also the hymn numbers are up there. Again, if you want to go to the back and get a book, then please do so. If they're marked in yellow, they are in the Songs of Fellowship books, and the one that's marked in blue is actually in the little blue loose leaf folders at the back. So if for any reason you can't see the screen, then don't be afraid to please go and from the cupboard there, just pick up a hymn book. It gives me great pleasure this morning to ask our locally resourced worship team to lead our worship. I say team, I think we are slightly depleted on this array. Mary's saying three, but thanks to Mary, Bella and Sheila for leading our service, and we do ask the Lord to be with you as you lead us in worship today. Thank you. I must be getting a bit better because I'm forgetting the stick.
It's a good sign. Well, welcome to this LRW service. We look forward to sharing fellowship with you. Our call to worship. There is a place for all of us in God's family. No one is excluded, left behind, or barred from entry. Everyone is welcome in God's family. No one will be shunned, given the cold shoulder, or snubbed. Look around you right now. Welcome one another. We and many others are all part of God's family. We're going to sing number 28 in Songs of Fellowship as we are gathered. our prayers of praise and confession. Let us pray. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. O praise him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. We come to worship you, O God, praising your name and renewing our love for you. You have given us the precious gift of life and a world full of wonder in which to live. We are blessed with families and friends to support us on our journey, and fellow Christians to help us on our way. Most of all, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us how to live. We give thanks for all these gifts. We confess that we have not lived up to our calling. We fail so often and beg forgiveness. We have not been kind enough to those who are difficult to talk to. We have not been welcoming enough to someone attending church for the first time because we could not think of something to say. We have been too busy to respond to the needs of others and to do your work. We keep taking the easier path. Forgive us, O God, and show us how to do better, we pray. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn will be on the screen. Let us build a house.
Thank you. Have you ever experienced, perhaps at school, a sports team selection process where everyone lines up, two captains are appointed, and they have to choose people one by one for their teams? Clearly, the sporty people are selected first, then everyone else. It can be very painful for those who maybe don't have a flair for this sport, waiting until they're eventually picked, or the captains run out of options. I could never understand why the teacher couldn't just sort it all out himself or herself. And it really informed my teaching when I eventually was teaching and had sports lessons. I remembered that feeling. And I sorted it out. Being excluded or failing to be excluded, being excluded or failing to be included is tough. School sports is an obvious example of how some people are considered more acceptable than others. But there are plenty of others, and plenty of more subtle forms of inclusion and exclusion. Whose opinion do we regard, and whose do we disregard? Who is more acceptable to us? In our church, who's in the in crowd and who's on the fringe? Do we prioritise some people over others, even in God's family?
I know my place. I've climbed the ladder of success, acquiring knowledge and developing the right skills. I've learnt who to impress and who can be ignored. I don't waste my time on those who are a waste of space. I've put in the hard graft, and I feel I am entitled to respect. But I do not expect to be loved. Those above me will watch their backs and want to keep me down. Those below are nothing to me. I know my place.
I know my place. Learning is hard for me, and my face never seems to fit. I've always been the one that they let go when times are tough and savings must be made. I've sunk so low, I've almost lost the will to try again. I have no self-respect. Shame and envy are smothering my soul. I do not expect to be loved. I have nothing to offer, nothing to give. I know my place.
God stands at the foot of the ladder, holding those that fall. I know you, says God, and your place is with me, secure in my love, for each of you is loved, and each of you is welcome. Come to me together, hand in hand. There is no other way.
As an introduction to our readings, Jesus is invited to dinner on the Sabbath, where he is closely watched. He challenges the behaviour of his host by telling two parables. One reminds people to be humble, and the other to give without necessarily expecting anything in return. The words exclusion and inclusion are very familiar to us, indeed quite fashionable. But these are not modern terms or ideas. In the ancient world, issues of inclusion were also very important. Just as today, being included by the right people allowed someone to move onwards and upwards in society. But Jesus has a very different message. He challenges the practice of making sure you're in the right place at the right time and tells those around him to seek instead a life of humility. Not only that, he says that they should actively seek to include and give priority to those excluded by society. For Jesus, that meant the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Who does it mean for us? Now we'll listen to our readings, firstly Richard, and then Ray.
The reading is from Psalm 112, The Happiness of a Good Person. Happy is the person who honours the Lord, who takes pleasure in obeying his commands. The good man's children will be powerful in the land, and his descendants will be blessed. His family will be wealthy and rich, and he will be prosperous forever. Light shines in the darkness for good people, for those who are merciful, kind, and just. Happy is the person who is generous with his loans and who runs his business honestly. A good person will never fail. He will always be remembered. He's not afraid of receiving bad news. His faith is strong and he trusts in the Lord. He's not worried or afraid. He is certain to see his enemies defeated. He gives generously to the needy, and his kindness never fails. He will be powerful and respected. The wicked see this and become angry. They glare in hate and disappear, and their hopes are gone forever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is Luke 14, verse 1 and verses 7 to 14, which is entitled Humility and Hospitality. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places. So he told this parable to all of them. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host who invited both of you would have to come and say to you, "Let him have this place." Then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that your host will come to you and say, "Come on up, my friend, to a better place." This will bring you honour in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who makes himself great will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be made great. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbours, for they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death.
We continue our worship by singing number 72, if you're using the books, Come Let Us Sing. Gospel has more mealtime scenes in it than all of the others. If his vision of the Christian life from one point of view is a journey from another point of view, it's a party. Several stories end with a festive meal, like for instance the parable of the prodigal son, which comes in the next chapter and which Laura preached on last week. And Luke's theme of meals comes together in the Last Supper. And finally, the story of the road to Emmaus. In our reading, Jesus is invited to a meal by the leading Pharisee. Now, we know for certain that possibly many Pharisees were very against Jesus, but not all, and it's thought that this one was more like a friend rather than an enemy. And as Sheila said, we're presented with two parables about feasting. The first looks simply like a bit of social advice, of practical wisdom, want to avoid embarrassment in front of your fellow guests, then take this tip. Depending on which translation you read, Luke tells us that it is a parable. And so if it's a parable, we ought to expect it to have at least a double meaning. So what is Jesus really talking about? Well, he's not just handing out a bit of advice on social matters. He's talking about God, how God will relate to his guests in the heavenly banquet. He's talking about the way in which people of his day were jostling for position in the eyes of God. They were, so it appeared to him, eager to push themselves forward, to show how well they were keeping the law, to maintain their own purity. They were precisely the sort of people he found himself with in the first section of the chapter, which we didn't read, where Jesus heals a man with dropsy. People who would watch for any signs of irregularity, even at the cost of frowning upon actions such as Jesus' healing of the man, which made sense by their own actual standards. And Jesus, throughout this section of Luke, is turning things upside down. He's associating with the wrong kind of people. He's touching the untouchables and calling the nobodies. The parable, then, isn't so much good advice for social occasions, though no doubt within Jesus' world and beyond there is practical human wisdom in warning against pride and arrogance. The real meaning is to be found in the warning against pushing oneself forward in the sight of God. In Jesus' day, it was all too easy for the well-off and the legally trained to imagine they were superior in God's sight to the poor, to those without the opportunity to study, let alone practice. Had a bit of an experience of someone pushing themselves forward a few years ago. It was quite interesting. Vic, my husband, was involved in an event at the Festival Hall, I think it was. And Marilyn and I were going along with him, and we said, yes, we can entertain ourselves quite happily during the day. We'll go for afternoon tea at the Landmark. And it was lovely. And Vic had said to us beforehand, would you like to be presented to Prince Charles? So I'm not against royalty. I'm not in favour of a republic. But did I want to meet Prince Charles? I didn't know. He's just a man, I thought. A man I don't know and who doesn't know me. What am I going to talk to him about? What's he going to talk to me about? So Marilyn felt much the same. So we kind of hung about at the back of the queue, but we were getting perilously near the front and beginning to think, we're going to have to do this. When a couple, without any ceremony, cut right across in front of us, went straight up to him and started talking to him. It was obviously extremely important to them to be seen talking to him, to be able to tell their friends what he'd said and what they had said and what have you. And so Marilyn and I quietly retired and had a nice chat with the Bishop of Norwich, who was very interesting. It was very interesting to see that it was so important to somebody else when it, you know, wasn't to us. At the same time, in the world for which Luke was writing, there would be an obvious wider meaning. Within Luke's lifetime, thousands of non-Jews, had become Christians. Because after all, Luke's gospel was written, you know, quite a long time after Jesus died. I looked it up, and some said it was as early as 50 AD, which I didn't think was right because I thought Mark was 80 and that was first. And the biggest estimate was 110 years AD. So somewhere in that thing or in that range, Luke was written. So a lot of non-Jews had become Christians. And many Jewish Christians, as we know from Acts, found this difficult, if not impossible, to understand or improve. They were so eager to maintain their own places at the top table that they couldn't grasp God's great design to stand the world on its head. Pride, notoriously, is the great cloud which blots out the sun of God's generosity. If I reckon that I deserve to be favoured by God. Not only do I declare that I don't need his grace, mercy, and love, but I imply that those who don't deserve it shouldn't have it. Jesus spent his whole life breaking through that cloud and bringing the fresh, healing sunshine of God's love to those in its shadow. The Pharisees could watch him all they liked, but the power both of his healings and of his explanations was too strong for them. The small-mindedness which pushes itself forward and leaves others behind is confronted with the large-hearted love of God. All Christians are called to the same healthy dependence on God's love and the same generosity in sharing it with those in need. Jesus had made this point often. How many times has he repeated this message? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In other words, the first must be last, and you must be the servant. Jesus hammers home this message in parable after parable, and more clearly in his teachings and actions with his disciples. It's in capital letters in the Beatitudes. Try counting how often he tells us this. It's probably more often than he actually tells us to love. Consider what is loving another, if it's not putting them first. Love doesn't often remain at that first intense emotion of falling in love. And there are other people in the world to love besides your partner. Love must be transformed by the will into a pattern of behaviour which considers the well-being of another before your own. So all Jesus' teaching about putting others first is describing the activities which constitute a loving relationship. Far better to give us concrete examples of what love looks like in action than vague exhortations to love. Consider the other very important point this passage makes. Without love actually using the word, it is that we give to those we love without expectation of receiving anything in return. We love demanding that we are demanding, we love without demanding we are paid. We love freely and without terms and conditions. Let's think about the meaning of real Christian hospitality. If you were to throw a party, the sort of party Jesus describes here, who would you invite? Well, often our first impulse is to invite someone who's already invited us. Oh, we better invite them back, hadn't we? Do we invite people we want to impress? People who we think might enable us to achieve more, to climb higher up whatever ladder we think we're on? Or would we invite people who we felt perhaps we'd like to get to know? Or maybe people that we felt would appreciate a good meal, assuming we're good cooks? It's hard to know, isn't it? Last week, Laura Partington preached very powerfully on the parable of the prodigal son, and she challenged us to think which son we were like. Today's reading challenges us to consider how we think of ourselves in terms of status. Bella, reading the first voice, was very happy because she had achieved a great deal in her life. The voice that Sheila read felt sad and not very confident because she had not succeeded in life. And then God's voice came to say, everybody is part of my family. So today's reading challenges us to consider ourselves, how we think of ourselves in terms of status. What is it that gives us our status? Is it our possessions, our work, our wealth, or lack of it? The clothes we wear? The list is probably endless. Or are we content to be children of God, adopted into his family, and loved beyond our imagining? All are invited to God's heavenly banquet, regardless of who they are. They simply have to respond to his loving invitation and allow his love to flow through them to the world around. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing number 43, I think it is, Bind Us Together. To our prayers for others, we are encouraging everyone today to put their faith into action by praying for local charities and other initiatives close to where we live that work to include people who are or who are likely to be excluded in some way. We ask you to take one of the little white, I haven't got one myself, one of the little white pieces of paper that we'll put around the church. If you've got a spare and somebody is without, perhaps you can pass it on to them. And we ask you to pray for this work each day, at least for this week, and to think about how you can support them. So we come to our prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray for our world. For those without a voice in their future, for those without dreams, for those who are in despair, for those who are fleeing from whatever horrors surround them, and we think particularly of the war in Ukraine, and the suffering there, and also the suffering in Pakistan, where devastating floods have killed at least 1,000 people. Loving God, may those who care for these people know your love. We pray for our country, for those with power to make a difference, for those with authority to act justly and honestly, for those who speak for others, may they understand their power and authority, and may leaders show integrity in all that they do. We pray for our community, for those who are housebound, for those who are unemployed, for those who care for others, for those who are in fear and dread of how their finances are going to see them through the months ahead. Lord, may they know your presence in their hearts. We pray for our church, for those who worship here or at home, for those who are away or ill, and those who find it hard to come. And we particularly think of Viola on the recent death of Bob, that she and her family will be held in prayer and know God's presence throughout the days and weeks ahead. And in a few moments of silence, we add our own private prayers to those that have been said. And lastly, we pray for ourselves. Give us hearts full of love and a knowledge and assurance that we are in your hands. For you love us and you desire to be close to us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. And let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, the one thing I forgot to ask about before the service is the offering. What is your current practice?
We just give a prayer of thanksgiving.
Sorry, could you say that again?
We just give a prayer of thanksgiving and ask people to put their offering in the plate which are at the front and back.
Thank you. Thank you. If you didn't hear that, there are plates at the back of the church, and I'll just say a prayer for the gifts that we give. Loving God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that we are able to bring the fruits of our work, our lives, our pensions, to offer to increase the work of your church. We pray for wisdom for those who allocate the money, that it may go where it will do the most good. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Our final hymn is... Yes?
Would you like me during the next hymn to go and see if anybody needs one? Because I don't think anybody
needs one. Right. Is there anybody who still needs a little white piece of paper? Ooh. Oh, yes, one person at the back.
Okay.
Thank you. Lovely, thank you. Our final hymn is number 544, There is a Redeemer.
Jesus comes on side.
Such wonderful words. When I stand in glory, I shall see his face. Before we have our sending out prayer, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who's helped with the putting together of this service. Marilyn is unable to be with us, but she was part of the planning. And thank you for the PowerPoint, operating the PowerPoint. Thank you, Nigel, for the music, and Trevor for keeping us organised, and for Richard and Ray for doing the readings, and my fellow LRWs, Sheila and Lella. And if I've forgotten anybody, I'm very sorry, and thank you. Lord, go with us today as we think about including all people. Inspire us to pray for those in our own neighbourhood who are often excluded. Inspire us to be active in seeking to include others and find a place for everyone in our community. Thank you that no one is beyond your love and care. Help us to be people who live and spread that message. Amen. And let's bless each other with the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Sorry.